Now, Kathleen Florence Lynn was an Irish Sinn Féin politician, activist and medical doctor. Hugely affected in her lifetime by the poverty and disease among the poor of the west of Ireland, she decided to be a doctor. She was educated in England and Germany before enrolling in the Royal University of Ireland, a forerunner of the UCD School of Medicine, and that led off to a remarkable life of service and politics as well throughout her medical career. And I'm delighted to be joined in line now by somebody who knows a lot about her and has contributed and written the diaries of Kathleen Lynn, A Life Revealed. Dr. Mary McAuliffe, originally from Douai, of course, co-author with Harriet Wheatlock of the diaries of Kathleen Lynn, Dr. Revolutionary and fearless health campaigner. Mary, good morning to you.
Good morning.
This is a remarkable woman from the west of Ireland.
She was. She was born in Mayo in 1874, the daughter of a Church of Ireland clergyman, and grew up there in the West, and always said it was the poverty she saw around her in Mayo that impacted it on her life and led her to a life of service. Went to Alexandra College in Dublin and then on to the Royal University to train as a doctor. She would have been the second generation of women doctors in Ireland at that time. Set up her own practice in Belgrade Road in Rathmines. But what is really important about her is her trajectory from Church of Ireland clergyman's daughter to cultural nationalism, to feminism. She met James Connolly and gets very involved in socialism, and then radical militant nationalism. And she ends up in 1916, Easter Monday, as a rebel in the City Hall outpost with the Irish Citizen Army. So it's a remarkable journey from, you know, that very upper middle class Protestant woman to an Irish rebel within about 30 years of her life. She was in her 40s in 1916.
Yeah, amazing, amazing stuff. And the learnings from her diaries and her writings, like one of the aspects I think has been highlighted has been the reaction to 1916 and the reaction locally in the aftermath of it. There's this idea that
yes,
the rebels
that
were
everyone
met
was jeering, yeah,
derision, but that wasn't the full story.
No, in her diaries she said, as the women, the women in the City Hall outpost were actually arrested on Easter Monday evening, so Kathleen Lynn's rising only lasts about 10 hours and they spend the rest of the week in Ship Street. And then after the final surrender, they're marched off to Kilmainham Jail, where they will be jailed. And she says they were cheered as they went along, and only a few separation women jeered at them. So she is indicating that there was support for the rising on the streets of Dublin, which is contrary to what we've been led to believe, that, you know, rotten food was thrown at the rebels and that they were jeered all the way by the local population. So I think it's we get a much more complicated insight, not only to 1916, but Kathleen Lynn keeps her diary, and she begins it Easter Monday 1916 with the word revolution. And she keeps it until a few months before she dies in 1955. So we get everything from the Easter Rising to the War of Independence, the Civil War, the first decades of the Irish Free State, in which she is a professional woman, not an easy thing to be. The diaries run to over a million words, obviously. We had to edit that down. We have about 100,000 in the diaries themselves, an annotated version. But it gives a sense of what these revolutionary women did during the wars of independence, etc., and what they did afterwards.
Yeah, and for speaking of that, her huge role in her work in St. Olton's Hospital for Sick Infants, which she founded in 1919.
She did, and it's a very innovative, radical, revolutionary hospital. And I feel I can't mention Kathleen Lynn's role in the rising without mention. She was the doctor who was by the side of Thomas Ashe as he died after being force-fed on hunger strike in 1917. She's a doctor to most of the revolutionary figures at this time because they trust her.
Yeah.
But then in 1919, because of the huge infant mortality rates, in the inner cities in Dublin, in the tenements. She and a number of other women found St. Alton's Hospital for Sick Infants. And they are so innovative. They have, from the beginning, they have a herd of goats. So they're, you know, they have milk, goat's milk for the babies. They go, she travels to the United States with her partner, Madeline French Mullen, to the UK, to Europe, to look at hospitals that are delivering the best standards and most up-to-date practices in infant healthcare. And she also believed in the, what we would call today, the child-centered healthcare. She believed that hugging a child was as important to them as giving them medicine. And education, she introduced the first Montessori ward in any hospital. Any new innovation in infant healthcare they introduced. They also, in the late 30s and into the 40s, begin the BCG inoculation with our Dorothy Stopford Price, her colleague, and are part of the rollout of BCG against TB, even before Noel Brown comes to power and begins that as well.
Amazing.
So they're
amazing.
Very important.
Yeah, they are. Look, the Diary of Kathleen, I know it's being launched, I think, on the 5th.
5th of December, but it's available in any bookshop.
Brilliant. Well, listen,
already available.
Well done, Mary. Brilliant stuff. I look forward to it. That's Mary McAuliffe, Dr. Mary McAuliffe, with us on the line talking about the Diaries of Kathleen, and a remarkable woman.